The Rambam here in the fourth section of his introduction to Perek Chelek, so now that he's described what Olam Haba is, so now he goes back to some of the concepts that he had introduced earlier, that he said some people identify these things as the ultimate goal. And he now comes to describe what they are. Ulam, Gan Eden, hu makom dashen v'shamein. So what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden, the Rambam says, is a very fertile area. Mivchar ha'aretz, the best, the choicest part of the world. Yesh bo neharim rabim v'ilanos osim peiros. There are rivers, many rivers, and trees and orchards. Yigala osam Hashem yizbarach v'nei adam lo'asid lavo. And in the future, Hashem will reveal this location. V'yoro osam aderech la'aloch alav v'yis'an gubo. And he'll reveal to mankind how to arrive at this beautiful place. V'efshur she'imtza bo tzvachim muflam ad ma'od. And this area, it's a physical area, this area might have very beautiful growth, vegetation, mo'ilim to'elas gedola, that are very, that are able to provide great service, maybe healing powers to them. Arevim u'musukim harbe, they might be very pleasant smelling or tasting. Mo'vad e'la yedum u'mforsim emalenu, like certain things that we already have identified in nature. And to imagine that there's some amazing place, beautiful garden someplace in the world, is not an impossible thought. It's something that's very illogical, very possible to be. Even if the Torah didn't tell us about it. And especially if the Torah tells us about it. So that's Gan Eden. Excuse me. Amnam Gehenim. What's Gehenim? Who shame with sar ulonish yasig l'rishav? That's a name. That's a term that's used for describing punishment and pain that will be given to rishayim. V'lo porash b'talmud toar zeh onish. We don't have an exact description of what it is. Eliyesh omrim ki hashemish tikrav lehem v'tisarfeim. There's some that say that the sun will come close to them and burn them up. They quote a pasuk in Malachi, "Hineh hayom ba boer ketanur," that the day is coming and it's fiery like an oven. Uktzas omrim ki uchamim azara. Others will say that it's unnatural heat, maybe some type of burning up with infection. Tischadish begufoseim utisarfeim. And also it will emerge in their bodies, again, a heat, an infection, and it will burn them. V'rayosim al zem ha'shnemer ruchachem eish tochalchem. Pasuk in Yeshaya. That you will have a fire that will burn you up. So the Rambam doesn't want to take a side on an exact, precise definition, but it's some type of punishment that will come to Rishayim. That's what Gehenna means. Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's not the ultimate, just like Gan Eden is not the ultimate reward for tzaddikim. It's a good, nice, sweet, pleasant place that will be revealed one day. Gehenna is a certain form of punishment that certain Rishayim receive. But it is not the ultimate punishment for one who doesn't serve Hashem. Tchiyas HaMeisim, what is the resurrection of the dead? Hu yisod mi yisodei Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom. It is a very important and fundamental principle in our Torah. V'ein das v'lo dveikus b'das Yehudas l'mishto yamin zeh. And you cannot be considered a man of our faith, and you can't be one who clings to the Jewish religion if you don't believe in resurrection. But you should know that it's only for tzaddikim. The Rambam wrote a letter about Tchiyas HaMeisim because there were those who accused the Rambam of denying a physical resurrection. That they claimed that the Rambam understood resurrection to be some type of spiritual resurrection, some type of spiritual reality, and not a physical resurrection. And the Rambam was forced later in his life to write a letter on Tchiyas HaMeisim where he defended his belief that there is such a thing as a physical resurrection. But the Rambam says here that certainly a principle, the idea of resurrection, but it's l'tzadikim. It's only for tzadikim. Not everybody gets the benefit of Tchiyas HaMesim. V'cheinu Lashon Bereishis Rabba, this is explicit in the Medrash. Kvuras Geshamim is for Tzadikim Urishayim, but Tchiyas HaMesim is for Tzadikim Bilvad. V'ichichu Arishayim, and the Rambam says, and how could it be anyway? It obviously makes sense like this. How can it be that Rishayim get Tchiyas HaMesim, they get resurrected? Harei, hey Mesim afilu b'chayeyem. They are already considered dead while they're alive. As Chazal tells us, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Rishayim afilu b'chayeyem kriyem Mesim. That Rishayim, even in their lives, are considered dead. And Tzadikim afilu b'misasim, and Tzadikim, even in their deaths, are kriyem chayim. Vida, ki ya'adam yesh lo olamos bechich, but a person must die, v'yisparid v'yashav l'mashorka v'mimena, when he must return back to his basic elements. There must be some type of decomposition of the body, but there will be a resurrection. But it sounds like the Rambam is saying that even after resurrection, there will be a death. We don't continue to live forever after resurrection. The next concept, Omnam Yemos HaMashiach, what does it mean, Yemos HaMashiach? Huzman shetoshuv ha-malchus li-Yisrael v'yachzur l'Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean, the days of the Messiah, Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic era? It's a time when the Malchus Yisrael, Jewish monarchy, will return to the Jewish nation, and they will return to Israel. Via Otso HaMelech, this king that rules over the Jews, will be Gadol Ma'od, will be great, to base Machuso B'tzion Yigdal Shemo, and his kingship that he establishes in Yerushalayim will publicize his name greatly. V'zichro yem melo ha-goyim, and all of the nations will respect him, will know him. Yosem and Amalech Shlomo, more than Shlomo Amalech. V'yashlimu oso kol ha-umos, and everyone will make peace with him and with the Jewish nation. V'yavdu kol ha-aratzos, and everyone will serve him. Again, not that they will bow down to him, but that he will have national standing, and everyone will make peace treaties with him, and they will all respect him and serve him in the sense that they will be beholden to him because of his tzidko ha-gadol v'niflo shiel yado, because of his extreme righteousness and the greatness that he will, and great things that he will do. V'chol mishayakam olav, and anyone who will attempt to stand up against him, Yabdu Hashem Yisalav Yimsar Oso B'yado, Hashem will make them stumble and fall, and they will be given over to him. V'chol psukei ha-mikra mi'idim al hatzlachasu v'hatzlachasenu imo, and many psukim in Tanakh, so they describe the success of Mashiach and our success with him as our leader. V'lo yishtana b'mitziyah shum davar mimashuata. But now the Rambam, this is the Rambam Shita, and now the Rambam tells us something very important. However, you should be aware that with everything I've just described, a great king, a return to Israel, there will not be, however, changes in nature from what it is now. Elo shehamalchus tachzor liYisrael. The only difference will be that kingship will return to Israel, but there will not be supernatural changes in nature. V'zeu lashon chachamim, the Rambam here quotes from the Amora Shmuel, that the Rambam holds like him, Ein beina olam hazel yimos ha-mashiach el shibud malchus bovad. The only difference that will exist between this world, meaning our current existence, and the Messianic era, will only be shibud malchus, the rulership of other nations over us. V'yeh b'yam avashirim v'avyonim giburim v'chaloshim k'neged zulasim. And there will be in that time, just like there are now, there will be wealthier people, there will be poorer people, there will be stronger people, there will be weaker people. But at that time, people will be successful, and it'll be easier for them. This is one other change. Even though the main change will be the Shibud Malchus, meaning our ability to have autonomy and Jewish monarchy, that's the main difference, that we will no longer be subservient to other nations. Even though that is the main change, and there aren't going to be supernatural changes, however, it will be easier at that time for man to provide for himself. That with even a small amount of work, a person will be able to reap great benefit. A small amount of work will provide lots of results. This is what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that in the future, the land of Israel will be motzi. It will produce gluskos, which means baked breads, loaves, and klemelas, or fine clothing. Now, that doesn't mean, the Rambam is telling us, that a supernatural events will happen and you will have a plant that comes out of the ground and on the end of it will be a cake and on the end of another one will be a suit, a jacket, and a shirt. That's not what it means. Rather, it's normal for when people speak, l'fish b'nei adam omrim kishi yimtza adam davar muchan umezuman, when a person finds something already provided for him, if his wife cooks something for him, or if he gets home and his wife has bought him a nice piece of clothing, so the idiom or the expression that we say is, we'll say, ploni matza pas afwe v'savshem avushal. He found his bread baked and his food cooked. It doesn't mean that it happened miraculously. It means that he didn't have to put so much effort in and he was able to find it. And the same thing is the Rambam is saying. This is the Rambam. This is based on what the Rambam told us earlier in this Hakdama about the importance of knowing how to analyze the words of Chazal. That not all the time are you supposed to just read it and interpret it and translate it literally. But rather you're supposed to understand that they're hinting to something, or they're not speaking on a literal level. And so too here, when the Gemara says, Asid Eretz Yisrael Otzi Gluskos, it doesn't mean that a miracle will happen. It means that we will find our food baked, means that we'll be able to succeed with less effort. And this is something that's natural. We know that some people put in a 9-hour day of work and they barely get by, and some people put in a 5-hour day of work and they're very, very successful monetarily. We could call this siyata d'shmaya, divine assistance. We can call this help from Hashem. It doesn't have to be supernatural. The harayals, and the Rambam says, and I'll tell you a proof for this, this is the pasuk in Yeshaya that the Rambam is making reference to, and it says here that bi'achris hayomim, so what's going to happen? Pasuk says, v'omdu zarim uru'ut sonechem, strangers will come and they will pasture your sheep at your fields, they will watch over your animals, ubnei nechar, and foreigners will be your farmers and will work your vineyards. That's the promise that the Navi says, that in Yemos HaMashiach we will have people that will take care of our fields. Now wait a second, why do we need them to take care of our fields if supernaturally clothing is going to fall from heaven? Obviously, we're still going to need, you see in the Pasuk, Lodia Shiesham Zeravikatsu, we're still going to need plowing and planting. There's going to be the natural seasons, but Hashem will make it easier for us. The Lochin Katsaf Achacham Azeh, and therefore, the Amora, the opinion, excuse me, that said this, Tana, I believe, that said this in the Gemara there in Shabbos, Asid Eretz Yisrael Hotzi Gluskos, Chle Melas. So when he said this, Al Talmido to his Talmidim, he got upset. Al Talmido on his Talmud, Kishlohevin Dvaro v'chashiv shu'al pshuto, because the student, the Gemara there says that when Rabbi Gamliel said this, so his student responded back and scoffed at him. So Rabbi Gamliel got upset at him, because why did the student scoff? Because the student understood it on a literal level, and he responded back, to him feishivo kfiyasagos, when he said back to him on his level. And if you look at the Gemara there, so he says, what? We don't find any time that the land produces things automatically? And he brought him some type of example of some type of mushroom of some sort, that overnight it comes up completely. But the Rambam says, he wasn't trying to say, look, the land can do it and it'll do it then. He wasn't really responding to him that that's what's going to happen. Rather, he was responding to Arayal Shlo Hishuvlo Al Mitasu Mashevi Raya Onaksil Kivalto, because the Gemara there quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, that you respond to a fool on a fool's level. So again, Rabbi Gamliel's student said to him, yeah, right, I don't believe this is going to happen. So he showed him in nature where we find such a reality where things are produced immediately in a perfected state. But the Gemara says that this is a foolish answer to a foolish question. What does it mean it's a foolish answer? Meaning, that's not really the true answer. The true answer is not that the land is going to produce garments that are already... that the land is going to give forth garments that are already fully produced. But that was the response that he said to his student who understood him on a literal level. So he responded on a literal level. But the truth is that it doesn't mean that, but rather what it means is that it'll be easier for us, the Rambam is arguing, it'll be easier for us to accomplish and to acquire the things that we need. And there'll also be for us at that time a great result, and that is, that we will not have to spend so much time living or providing for ourselves what's necessary because we are oppressed by foreign influences, but rather, as we said earlier, we will have autonomy, and when we have autonomy, we don't have to worry about, you know, if we go back in history, we don't have to worry about the Poles, or we don't have to worry about the Russians, or we don't have to worry about the Inquisition, or we don't have to... All of these things take up a tremendous amount of time and don't allow us the comfort and the time to be able to pursue a life of mitzvos. And therefore, by removing Shibud Malchus, which is Monea us from doing the mitzvos, so it'll give us lots of free time. Now that we have free time, if you even think about it in our own modern day, if we could look at the messianic process as something that takes place in stages and over time. So with the Industrial Revolution, it removed from the average man the need to sew his own clothing and to produce his own food. And that freed up for mankind a tremendous amount of time. Now, what does man do with that time? So our society has created pastimes to pass the time because we have so much time. And there, we've created an entire industry over the past few hundred years of recreation. Why? Because man has lots of free time. We no longer need to spend time. The average man doesn't sow his field, plow, plant, harvest, produce grain. We don't have to shecht an animal, salt it, wait. There was a tremendous amount of time that used to need, that in the past was needed, a tremendous time investment in order to have basic goods. And there wasn't free time to follow football and to learn the violin. Now we have a tremendous amount of free time on our hands because so many things are industrialized and we can buy food in the supermarket, already made food in a restaurant or in a supermarket, and grain, flat bread is already made for us, and so many other things in our lives are taken care of for us, and therefore we have a tremendous amount of free time. What should we be doing with that free time? So if we were truly living up to the messianic ideal, it's there, v'tir b'chachma. It's there in order for us to have more time to learn chachma, to study Torah and to learn chachma. K'mo shenemar, as the Navi Yeshaya says about Achris HaYamim, ki mol ha'aretz de'as Hashem. Then in time, excuse me, of Yemos HaMashiach, it'll be a time when everyone is filled with knowledge. V'yishbisu ha'melchamos. There won't be war. We won't have to spend time going out on military campaigns or defending our towns, but we'll have time to learn. K'mo shenemar lo yisugoyel goy cherev. No more war. And that will provide us an opportunity to truly achieve and earn Olam Haba, which we already spoke about, is this great intellectual acquisition of knowledge of Hashem. Meaning, Yemos HaMashiach, we could sort of look at it, if we need a Mashal Lamad Dover Doma, it's like a tremendous bonus round, right? You spend... your life trying to do mitzvos and learning much Torah. But Yemos HaMashiach is a time period when so many things are taken care of for you, you have the opportunity. It's like I tell the guys in yeshiva all the time, here you have an amazing opportunity. You have a chadar ochel that gives you amazing, delicious food. You have a dormitory where everything's taken care of for you. All you need to do in yeshiva, you just have to come and learn. Everything's taken care of for you. You have a base medrash, you have a dormitory, you have a chadar ochel. They're all right here on location. Everything's taken care of for you. All you have to do is learn. That is a tremendous thing. And that's what Yemos HaMashiach is, according to the Rambam. It's an opportunity to do mitzvos, to learn Torah, to pursue chachma, where we don't have to worry about too much about parnasa and too much about foreign influences. All of that is taken care of for us. It's not miraculous in the supernatural sense, but it's an amazing opportunity to earn more and more Olam Haba. V'Mashiach Yomus, the Ram tells us, but you should be aware that Mashiach will die. V'Yimloch Beno Tachtav, and his son will rule after him. Uben Beno, and eventually his grandson. Ukfar Be'er HaNavius Misasa Lo Yichoy V'Lo Yarutz Ad Yasim Baretz Mishpat. The Navi already alluded to the fact that Mashiach will die, because when describing the Navi, when the Navi describes Melech HaMashiach, so it says about him that he won't lo yichai, he won't weaken, v'lo yarutz, and he won't break, ad yosim ba'aretz mishpat, until he establishes justice. So he won't falter, he won't slow down until he finally accomplishes what he needs to accomplish. But once he does accomplish it, what will happen? Then he will weaken, and then he will die. That's how the Rambam was learning the pasuk. V'te'er rach ma'chusa yamim rabim admod, but he will have a very long reign. V'yarchu chaye b'nei adam gamkein, and everybody will live longer at that time. Lefi kishi yasuru hadagos v'yagonos, the Rambam says, this is very, it's a very modern way of thinking, but it's the emes, that once you remove from people stress and worries, yarichu yamei adam, one of the things the Rambam is arguing here, something that shortens a man's life is stress and pressure. But if that stuff is removed from us, we don't have the stress and pressure of providing for our families as much. And we don't have foreign entities ruling over us. So, yarichu yamei adam, people will live longer. Ve'ilat ma'ashat tiskayim ma'chuso alofim min ha'shanim. And you shouldn't be surprised if it ends up that Mashiach lives for 1,000 years. Lefi she'chachamim amru ki kibbutz atov kish yiskabeit lo b'mehiri yiparid. Because our sages teach us that when something comes together well and for good, so it doesn't disintegrate quickly. And the Rambam says, you should know that we don't desire Yemos HaMashiach because we want to have an abundance of things. That's not, I just described all the abundance and all the greatness that will be there, Yemos HaMashiach. But don't think that that's why we want it. That's not why we're looking forward to Yemos HaMashiach. V'loshin yirkav al susim, we're not looking forward to riding in on horses, or nowadays in luxury cars. V'lo lushtos yayin b'minei hazemer, and we're not looking forward to reclining on couches with wine and music. K'moshe mechashvim mevulbulei hadas. And we don't have these mistaken perspectives of Yemos HaMashiach, like some people do, that it's going to be this existence where we just have lots of stuff. But the real reason that the Nevi'im and the Chasidim desired Yemos HaMashiach is not for that, but rather, they desired it because it's going to be a time when there'll be groups, large groups of tzaddikim, hanhaga tova ve'chachma. It'll be a time when people are acting properly. There's lots of wisdom, tzedek, and there's righteousness, v'tzedek hamelech v'rov yashro, and there's straightforwardness, v'aflogas chachmaso v'krevuso el elokim, and there'll be an abundance of chachma and closeness to God. Kimo shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, Hashem amar elai b'niyatem, ani hayom yiladaticha. V'yasiyas kol mitzvos Toras Moshe Rabbeinu, and it'll be a time when there'll be an opportunity to do all of the mitzvos of the Torah. We'll live in Eretz Yisrael. We'll be able to do the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael. Me'enis rashlus v'yatzolo v'lo ones, and people won't be tired and lazy, and there won't be things that prevent us, and ones, things that are circumstances beyond our control that prevent us from doing mitzvos. No, it'll be a time where we'll be able to do all of the mitzvos. That's what we look forward to Yemos HaMashiach for. K'mo shenemar v'lo yilamdu od ishas re'egu v'ishas achiv lomar du'as Hashem. People won't need to teach, the Navi tells us. They won't need to teach each other knowledge of Hashem. Ki kulam yedu osi, because everyone will know it. L'miktanam v'yad gedolam, from young people to old people, everyone will be filled with knowledge of God. And now another pasuk, nasati es torasi b'kirbam, the Torah will be with inside people. Fasirosius leva evan mi bisarchem. Shem says, I will remove the stone heart from inside you, and you will be open and excited to internalize Torah and Hashem. And there are many psukim that describe it this way. And this will be a tremendous, this will be the great accomplishment of Yemos HaMashiach. And this is what we are looking forward to. Before we continue, let me just point you towards another source in the Rambam where he discusses these topics as well. This is the Rambam at the very end of Mishnah Torah and Hilchos Malachim. So Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th Perek. I believe this Perek in the standard printings of the Rambam is missing some very interesting, a very interesting last halacha here. We won't discuss that at this opportunity, but if you look in the Frankel edition, so it's been, of the Rambam, it's been reintroduced based on manuscripts. But let's just read a few lines here from the Rambam. The Rambam starts off Perek, the 11th Perek of Hilchos Malachim as follows. HaMelech HaMashiach Osid Lamod Ulahachzir Malchus David Liyoshna. The Melech HaMashiach will return Malchus Beis David, the Davidic line, the kingship, to the Jewish people. L'memshel Rishono Bona HaMikdash, he'll build the Beis HaMikdash U'mekabetz Nimcha Yisrael, and he will ingather all of the Jews from all over the world. V'chozim Kol Mishpatim B'yamim Kishayim Mikodem, and we will return to a law system that reflects the Torah's laws. Makrivim Karbonos, the Rambam says explicitly that we will bring Karbonos. The Osin, Shmitin, Vyovlos will return once again to the system of Shmita and Yovel. Bechol mitzvosel amura b'Torah. That's what the Rambam tells us in the beginning here. And then the Rambam tells us how to determine who Mashiach is. And then when we turn to the 12th Perek, Al Yala Alev Shiemos HaMashiach Yevatal Davri Min Hagel Shalom. Don't think that Yemos HaMashiach, there'll be a change in nature. Now right away, the Ravid comments on this, and he says, what are you talking about? It says in the Torah that I will, in Nach, all these descriptions of miraculous things that will happen. Now the Rambam is going to address those in a second. But again, back to the Rambam. The Rambam says, don't think, Al Yala HaLalev, that in the Yemos HaMashiach, there'll be a change in nature. O Yesham Chiddush B'maisa Bereishis. El Olam Kiminhago Noeg. No, nature will continue as it is. Oh, Vizesh and Amar, but you're going to tell me that the Navi in Yeshaya tells us, V'ger Ze'ev Im Keves, that the wolf and the lamb will live together. You know, they'll live in a cave together, they'll live in a... in an area together, there'll be peace between the wolf and the lamb. V'namer im gidi yirbatz, and the panther, the leopard, and the goat will also, they'll graze together. You should know this is a mashal v'chida. It's not literal. No, the nature of a wolf will that it will still pursue a lamb. This is a mashal. It's a parable. Inyan ha'davar shi'a Yisrael yoshem levetach im rishay akum ha'moshlim kize'ev in amer. And it means, it's a reference to the Jewish nation, which are compared to the lamb, and the Gentile, the evil Gentile nations, the ones that oppress the Jews, they are being compared to the wolf or the leopard. Shinemar, he quotes in Pesukim, and that's what it means here. V'chein kol kiyotzi ba'elu, the Rambam, skipping a line or two. The Rambam says that's what all these Pesukim, types of psukim that speak hadvarim bin beilu hadvarim bin yinam Mashiach hey mishalim. These are all parables. There's all not to be understood literally, and this reflects what we just read in the Rambam's introduction to Chelak. Ubiyamos haMashiach yodeya lakol leizadavar ayamashal, and we'll understand them completely. The mishalim beachris hayamim in the times of Yemos haMashiach. Then the Rambam continues. Amru chachamim ein beina olam hazeh liyemos haMashiach el shibud malchus bilvad. You'll see, as the Chachamim say, that Yemos HaMashiach, the difference is only Shibud Malchus, the oppression of foreign entities on Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam continues, Lo nis'avu ha'chachamim v'anaviyim Yemos HaMashiach. The great desire of the Chachamim and the Nevi'im for Yemos HaMashiach was not Lo chedei shi'yishlatu al kol ha'olam. It's not because we want to rule over everyone else. V'lo chedei shi'yardu ba'akim. It's not that we can now finally beat up on the Gentile nations. And it's not that we want to be held up, raised up on a pedestal by the other nations. And it's not in order to rejoice and to eat and to drink. Rather, it's that we should be free to be able to learn Torah and its wisdom. And there shouldn't be things that oppress us or that are mevatel us from learning. And that will give us an opportunity to achieve more and more Olam Haba. The Rambam ends, azman lo yesham lo raav v'lo milchama. There won't be droughts, famines, war, lo kina v'tachrus. There isn't going to be jealousy and competition. Shatov v'tiyeh mushpas harbe, because there'll be good everywhere. And the Rambam ends off by saying, quoting the pasuk, "Kimola aretz de'as Hashem kimayim liyamechasim," that the world will be filled, just like it's filled with water, it'll be filled with knowledge of God. Now that the Rambam, going back to the Rambam's Hakdama, so now that the Rambam has finished describing Yemos HaMashiach, so what we've seen so far is what's Gan Eden, what's Tchiyas HaMesim, what's Gehenim, what's Tchiyas HaMesim, and what's Yemos HaMashiach. Now the Rambam comes back to talking about Olam Haba. The Tachlis, and the ultimate good, therefore, is Olam Haba. Ulum Aso, He HaHishtadlus. And in order to get it is what we work for. Ulefikach, Zeh HaChacham HaMuchzak B'Yediyas HaEmes. Therefore, the Tana here, who knows the truth, Iyein B'Tachlis HaAchrona, he searched out what is the ultimate good. V'Yiniach Mashu Zilaso, and he didn't speak about other things. And that's why, this Mishnah says, and he's going back, again, this is the Rambam's explanation. This Hakdama comes from the Rambam's Perish HaMishnah, his commentary on the Mishnah. So all of this began by commenting on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, the beginning of parak Chelek, 11th parak, depending on how you count the parakim. But the Rambam's Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Leom Abbas, so he says the Tana didn't say Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Yemos Mashiach, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Gan Eden. He purposely chose Olam Haba because that is the ultimate good. V'im he'yosahu hatachlis ha'mevukeshes, and since it is the ultimate good that we want, still, and even though it is the ultimate good that we want, the Rambam, and now he's going back to what he said earlier, a person who wants to really serve God out of love shouldn't be oved l'hasig olam haba. That shouldn't be your goal. Meaning it is the ultimate goal, but that's not why we do what we do. It's not why we live a life of Torah mitzvahs. K'mo she'bi'arnu b'mesh kadam, as we said earlier, says the Rambam. Aval yesh lavod ala derech she'omar, rather you should serve Hashem like we said above. V'zeu ki kishiyamin she'yesh sham chachma. When we identify something as the right thing, and we identify true chachma, hi ha'torah she'yegiel ha'neviyam e'sabor yisal ha'shodiyam ba. We recognize that Torah is the ultimate chachma, and it's what was received by man through the Nevi'im from Hashem. And the amidos tovos, v'hena mitzvos, kach, when we recognize that the following are the proper midos that we should be inculcating, and the following are the proper, are the commandments that we should be doing. V'hamidos haros, v'hena averos, hein kach, and when we realize that bad behavior and bad midos are the following, and we recognize the chachma there, Roy lo mitzad shu adam yashar hamezek. You should pursue it because you are a healthy, straight person who wants to do yaseh atovos v'yaser min haros. You want to do good and you want to refrain from evil. Ukshiyasezeh yishlam bo inyan ha'anoshius. And you recognize that by doing these things, because you recognize they're true, you recognize that these are things that will bring you shlemus. Via nivdom and abhema, and it will separate you from the animals. And that's what you want. Ukashiya adam shalim, and if you are a complete person, who miteva adam asham, asher enlo monea, shetichya napshav tiskayim bikiyam hayaduah lo. And the result of that is that if you're a complete person, and you try to live your life in a complete way, and you try to do what's right, and you try to avoid what's wrong, so as we've explained earlier, you will develop a relationship with the truth of Torah, and that will eventually connect you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will ensure for you an eternal existence, even after you die. V'zehu Olam Haba Kmo Shebe'arnu. And this is what Olam Haba is. But it's the result of living a healthy, proper, balanced, complete life. And that's what we should want to do. V'zeu Shenemar, and that's what we're told in Tehillim. Al tia kisus kifered ein havin. Don't be like a horse or some other type of mule, some other type of animal. Don't be like the horse who does what he does without understanding. Lo havin. B'mesek v'resen edyol levlom, that they have to put on him a bit or a brittle or some type of muzzle in order to prevent him from eating or from biting, meaning the animal itself doesn't recognize that the right thing to do is not to bite. He has to have some type of external thing preventing him. Kimosha moneas abemos min haishtalchus, that you have to have something prevent the animal from wild behavior. Hudavar mi bachutz, it's external. Kimo amesleg b'hares, and like the bit or the muzzle. Vein roish adam kain. It shouldn't be that you need external trappings, external mechanisms that direct you to a life of Torah and mitzvos and direct you away from a life of sin. Aviyeh mono mito me'atzmo. It should come from inside you. Rotzoni lomer tzurasu ha'enoshis. Your basic human structure of being put together. Kishatiya shlema. If it's put together properly, he timno enu me'osam advar mishemonu mimenu ha'shlemus. That itself should be something that should prevent you from the things that will prevent shlemus. Vehema nikra midos ros, these midos ros. Vehi, this inner desire to be shalim, should be tzarezoso, should get you excited and push you and encourage you. Vetidchenu el mashi avio al shlemus, and should push you and lead you towards the things that will bring you shlemus. Vezehu amidos tovos, which are the good traits. And this, I think, is what I need to explain to you from Chazal on this very, very important topic. Now the Rambam tells us, and halavai, I would love to write another work. All the different drushas of Chazal, and I'd like to be able to take the opportunity to explain all these different drushas of Chazal and explain what they really mean. And I'll be able to bring rayas for what I for proofs from other words of Chazal. And I'll reveal when things are literal, when they're supposed to be understood as a parable, and when things are really just dreams that are being presented as reality, but really they're just visions. And in that essay, I'll be able to teach you many very important theological beliefs and points. And I'll be able to speak more on some, elaborate on some of the things that I've discussed here. Takish Mamel Zulas, I'm able to connect them with other, different Mamari Chazal and be able to show what they're teaching. Meaning, what the Rambam is saying is that here, I just now, in this section, I discuss things like, for instance, the Gemara in Shabbos, that Asida Eretz Yisrael, Lohotzi Gluskos, or Ein Ben Olam Azeli Mosem Mishim. All these different Mamari Chazal, I had an opportunity to explain to you what they meant. So I would love to write a book where I do this on a more systematic level, and I address lots of different Mamari Chazal. V'ein litfo, v'ein litpos alai, al mesh sheba b'mamari zeh, v'asher v'itarti b'miksas milos, and don't attack me for what I've been writing about here. These are very esoteric ideas, and don't attack me for it. And certainly the fact that I sometimes spoke things that sometimes complicate and confuse great chachamim. Maybe I didn't write a tremendous amount about them, and I tried to get by with writing little. Because I'm trying to just teach people, those people who don't have training in this area, I'm trying to, in this very deep area. I'm trying to just teach them, give them a little chinuch. These are concepts that a lot of people don't know. It's unclear here if the Rambam is saying, is asking for a little bit of space, or a little leeway. He's apologizing for writing about this without, you know, spending a tremendous amount of time on it. Maybe it needs more time. That's one direction. The other possibility is that these are topics you're not really supposed to speak about. Yemosa Mashiach is a topic that Chazal tell us. You're supposed to just give little remazim, little hints to it. And maybe he's saying the opposite. Maybe he's saying, you know, I spoke more than I'm supposed to, but I did it because I see a tremendous value. I'm not sure exactly which one he's trying to say here. But those are the possibilities. Okay. Now the Rambam is just going to, just to finish up this section, he, again, if you remember, this is his commentary on that Mishnah in towards the end of Maseches Sanhedrin. So in that Mishnah, there were a couple of terms that were used. People who lose Olam Haba, not Bikores, a person who reads Sfarim Chitzonim, a person who's Lochesh Alamaka. So he's just going to finish translating what those are. Milas Apikores, what is an Apikores? We usually translate it as a heretic. Hu Aramis, it's an Aramaic word. And in Yana, Misha Mafkir Umavaza Sotora Olom Deha. It's someone who is Mafkir, which means that he... technically, it means to disown, but it means that he doesn't treat it with the respect. He treats it as a gaver hefker. You know, when you own something, so you're careful with it. When something is not yours, or if it's ownerless, so you're not as careful with it. So he treats the Torah that way, and he maybe even disgraces the Torah or those who learn it. The Torah olom deha. Ulefikach korim b'zeh Hashem kol mishenu mamen b'yisodi haTorah. And therefore, they use this term napikores. He's saying it's coming from the word hefker. It's a term that's used for a person who doesn't believe in the foundational aspects of the Torah. O mish mevaze chachamim, or a person who mocks the chachamim. O eze talmid chacham, or talmid chachamim. O mevaze rabo, or he disgraces his rebbe. So that's an apikores. That's one person who doesn't get Olam Haba. Another, sfarim chitzonim, people who read sfarim chitzonim. What are sfarim chitzonim? So the Rambam says, it's sifrei minim. It's the books of heretics. It's books that contain heretical concepts in them. V'chein Sefer Ben Sira. The Rambam says, and I'll tell you one specific example. That's the Sefer of Ben Sira. V'hu haya ish chiber sfarim yeshbem hasulim. Mi'inyani ha'karas panim. It's a book that's filled with foolishness, written by somebody named Ben Sira. And it's got topics like inyani ha'karas panim. It's, you know, reading faces, you know, palm reading and face reading. Ain't by tam below 12. These are topics and concepts that are just a waste of time. Al ibur azman behevel. It's foolishness. Kegon elas sfarim and insam etzel ha'arav. You find these types of books, waste books. You know, the Rambam maybe is almost extending this concept of sfarim chitzonim to not only be heretical books, but books that are an absolute waste of time. Like sfarim. He's either extending the concept, the term of Sfarim Chitzonim, or you say no, Sfarim Chitzonim means heretical books. But when we're on the topic of time, things that are wastes of time, let me tell you some other things that are a waste of time. So he says, for instance, books that we find in the West, Sipure Divrei Hayamim, stories, Hanhagas Malachim about kings, V'yuchesei Ha'arviyim, tales from all the different, you know, here when we're talking here about the West, he doesn't mean like the West, like the United States and Europe. He means the Arabic lands, lands of Arav, the lands of the Arabic lands. And he's talking about their tales of all their different tribes and their different stories about Arabic culture. The Sifrei Hanigun, the Rambam, we know that the songs of the time, the Rambam writes in other locations, were filled with inappropriate topics and inappropriate words. We think only nowadays that the music is filled with nivel peh and inappropriate topics, but back then as well, and people spend their time with that. Ukiyotze behen min asfarim she'en behem chachma v'lo to elos kufanus el ibra zman bilvad. Svarim that don't have chachma in them, and they don't have, you know, that it's not medical works. that have benefit for your body. No, they're complete wastes of time, these types of works. V'halocheish al hamakeh uvovad berakika, and people who say incantations to heal themselves, especially with spit. There was apparently some type of practice that they had back then where they would spit and then they would say things. This is an absolute bizayon to Hashem. V'ahoges Hashem ba'usi osav, and someone who pronounces God's name, Yudhei Vovhei, Shu Hashem v'meforesh, if you say it with its vowels, the shame of Hashem. U'kvar zichru devarim zulasi elu sh'osi osav, and there are other things as well that we're told. Ein lo chelik lo mabo. For instance, Chazal tell us, hamabim p'nei chaveru b'rabim. If you embarrass your friend in public, really embarrass him, or his face turns white. Ein lo chelik lo mabo. V'akore l'chaveru b'kinuay, or you use a disgraceful nicknames for people, or you glee in the you rejoice when other people are embarrassed or mess up. The only person who does such things, even though many people might say, these are not such big deals, Ela bal nefesh grua she'ein bo shleimus. The only person who does such things are people who are very lowly people, who don't have any shleimus. Ve'enu re'uya le'olam haba. And it's the sign of a person who's not roi for olam haba. So you can ask if this is the siman or the sibba, if this, the fact that a person does these things, because of this you lose olam haba, or a person who does such things, it's a sign that he's the type of person who probably engages in other things that has already made him lose his olam haba. Okay, the Rambam is now going to, in the next section, is going to expand upon who gets olam haba and who doesn't. He's going to sort of go beyond the Mishnah now and say, I think this is an appropriate time for me to teach you 13 principles of faith that every Jew must believe. And if you don't, you also lose olam haba. And we'll talk for a few minutes when we discuss that about how the Rambam knew that these 13 things should be included as well. They're not mentioned in the Mishnah, at least not all of them. So we'll talk about that next time.